morning, we're visiting with Jody Latimer, the Environmental Resources Supervisor of the City of Peoria. And the special thing about the City of Peoria, one of them, is that they are partners with Water Use It Wisely. Good morning, Jody. How are you today?
Well, good morning, Jennifer. It's a beautiful day in Peoria.
You know, you just can't beat a fall day in Arizona. And you know what? Unlike most of the country, we're getting ready to start planting here on the desert floor. Can you get us started if we have time to plant? We're wanting to get that done?
Absolutely. Fall is a great time to plant in the Sonoran Desert. The most important thing to think about first is what is the right plant for the right place. Take a look at your yard and get to know your garden and be thinking about what it is you want that new plant to accomplish. Are you planting for color or size or shade? There's a lot of things to think about. After you've thought about the function of the plant and what it is you're looking for that plant to do, be thinking about the mature size. You need to make sure there's room for that plant to grow so you're not spending all your time in the future pruning.
Well, not only pruning, but if you get it too close to the house or a sidewalk or whatever, you can actually cause damage.
That's correct, and that's one of the most common challenges I see in the home landscape, plants that have been put in the incorrect location. You also need to think about the microclimate that might be in your yard. Are you looking to plant in the part of your yard where it's windy? Is there shade? Maybe there's reflective heat from a driveway that might have an adverse impact on the plant, and it wouldn't be as happy growing right out next to the driveway as if you located it somewhere else. Another thing to be thinking about is what type of soil is in your yard. Some of the lots here in the valley have a very sandy soil, and others have a lot of rock, and that's going to have an impact on what plant will perform well.
So once I've chosen my plant, then how do I go about planting it?
Well, the first thing you're going to want to do is to dig a hole in the location where the new plant's going to go. It's probably a good idea to check it for drainage. You could fill the hole with water and let it drain. And the second time you fill it, go out there with your timer and ruler or a yardstick and see how quickly the water drains out. If it's dropping less than 1 inch per hour, that's probably going to be a problem area for your new plant.
Is there a way to fix that, or you would choose another place?
Well, there are solutions, but it might be a little difficult to come up with the best one. Generally, it might just mean selecting a different plant for that location. When you dig the planting hole, it should be twice the width of the root ball, but no deeper than the root ball. And that's a big change. People always think if they dig a bigger hole that they're going to have a happier plant, but it can actually cause problems later on if you dig too deep or too wide. The plant roots are going to be wanting to grow into the looser soil in the sides of your planting pit. But please don't dig deeper than the root ball of the new plant.
Should you be able to see the top of that root ball once it's in place?
Generally, yes.
Okay.
Planting new plants too deep can cause problems later on. And another thing to be thinking about is that it's not necessary to put mulch or compost in the backfill material. And the reason is that mulch decomposes, and later the plant will drop too late or it might lean in the wrong direction. It's better to let the plant get used to the soil it's going to be growing in.
Well, I guess I've been doing it all wrong.
Well, I've done that myself in the past, and I'm sorry to report I have a tree that's leaning, and I know it's because I dug the hole too deep and I mixed in compost. We've learned a lot over the recent years about how to be more successful with growing plants in the desert. Another thing you're going to want to do is inspect the roots after you pull the plant out of the nursery container. You need to cut away any damaged roots. And make sure the roots are not circling around from the inside of the new container. They may need to be cut where it will encourage the new roots to grow out into the surrounding soil. You make those cuts with a clean, sharp pruning saw. After you've inspected the roots and made sure everything's ready to go, put that root ball right in the center of the hole you dug. Then remove the nursery stake. Those nursery stakes are not meant to be left attached to the plant. You might need to provide additional staking, but only if your new plant will not stand unassisted. This supplemental staking is only temporary support. You only need to leave it in place for 1 or 2 growing seasons.
You would place two stakes outside of the planting hole and place them to where they're perpendicular to the wind so they'll keep that tree upright. You secure the tree to those stakes by running a wire through maybe an old garden hose that you've cut into pieces so it doesn't cut into the bark of the tree. But remember, those stakes are meant to be temporary and should only be left in place for one or two growing seasons. Then slowly backfill the hole with the material that you dug while you're running a slow soaker hose or a slow drip from your garden hose to help the soil settle in.
Those are all great tips, Jody. So let's say you've planted your plants, you've done your due diligence in picking the right plant for the right place, as we say, and you've done the best practices as far as getting them all purchased and planted. How am I going to maintain this investment? It is quite an investment of time and energy and money, too.
Absolutely. You need to take care of your investment. And there's several things that are important to be thinking about as you look at your newly planted landscape. The first recommendation I'm going to make is that you do not overwater, over-fertilize, or over-prune. A brand new plant does not need to have fertilizer or gypsum for the first year that it's in the ground. It's really important to check your irrigation schedule and make sure you're providing the right amount of water at the right time of year. Overwatering can cause a plant to grow too rapidly and create a pruning nightmare for you later on. Frequently, the best time to change your irrigation schedule is when fall begins in October, and you might only need to water every week or so. The amount of water that a plant needs varies by the type of plant it is. Whether it's a desert-adapted plant or a high-water-use plant is going to make a difference. Also, the season of the year makes a lot of difference in terms of how much water a plant needs. In August, it might still be 110 degrees, but because the humidity is up, shrubs and trees need a lot less water than they did in June. Now that we're in fall, you can even reduce the watering schedule more.
You know, it's really hard in the desert to just eyeball it. There is really a bit of a science to it and really taking care of our plants. And it's always a shame to see water being wasted on off seasons. So if our listeners, if you've gotten this far, if you've planted your plant and you're wanting to take care of it and protect your investment, wateruseitwisely.com is a great resource for looking up the watering schedules and how much plants need to be watered. They also have classes and workshops listed there if you want to just go and learn more. Of course, if it all seems way too much, we have wonderful landscaping companies here in the valley, but I encourage you to go to wateruseitwisely.com. They have a wonderful 10-part video series. It's called The Backyard Rehab. Lisa O, an Arizona homeowner, won a redo of her whole backyard, and they're going through it step by step in this 10-part series to help us to see this whole process of getting a blank yard done. And while you're there, be sure you sign up for their newsletter and register to win great prizes. That's wateruseitwisely.com.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you spending your Saturday morning with us. It's a great, great campaign. And on that newsletter, you can also keep in tune to when their next promotional event is, no matter what it is they do.
You know, on our Facebook page, there's a, if you get the feed there, if you go to Rosie on the House Facebook page, it's right there. You can click right on the video from there. We post them each week as they come out. And just like us, Rosie on the House Facebook, you'll get the weekly article that we do, and it's an easy way to keep track of that. And we also give you a little lineup of what we're talking about for the weekend and a few tips in between. We post them each week as they come out. And just like us, Rosie on the House Facebook, you'll get the weekly article that we do, and it's an easy way to keep track of that. And we also give you a little lineup of what we're talking about for the weekend and a few tips in between.
That weekly article talks about six things you can do before the holidays come. We've covered three of those. Our next three, real quick: repair the sticky sliding closet door, or maybe the one that the bottom anchor. A lot of times those are plastic guiders. That's busted off.
And then the doors just kind of swing free.
Uh-huh. or it might squeak. You know, I put a little oil up there. I would not just take WD-40 and put it up there. That's way overkill for what those need. You can pick those up, bring the roller down, and just hand dab like a little 3-in-1 around. And that, you know, the more grease you put on it, the more dirt it will accumulate. Keep that to a minimum. A little bit of 3-in-1 is all you'll need. Test your smoke alarms and replace the batteries if you haven't done that in a while. And I like this one, path lighting, especially if you've got an area outside you're going to be entertaining. Some path lighting to light your walkway. It makes a huge difference.
And with solar lighting so easy to get now, that's a really quick fix to put some lights around there.
It is, especially if you've got the grandparents coming over. You know, just keep that area well lit for everybody. Keep. You had mentioned the solar options. You can. There's some pretty trick stuff that's come a long way in directional lighting. And if you've not been to a landscape lighting showroom, sprinkler rule comes to mind. Ewing irrigation comes to mind. Check out some of the options that are available.
You can get real artsy with it. It adds a lot of ambiance.
Yes, that's a good word, ambiance. All right. To the calls. Joe's first on the line at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Very well, thank you.
Good.
How may we help you, sir?
I'd like to find out where I can get a hold of a chimney sweep brush for cleaning out my fireplace chimney.
Have you ever bought a chimney sweeper?
I have not. I have not.
Me neither. You know what? I will tell you this, Joe. There is a company on our network called Arizona Chimney Sweep. They do this for a living. So they obviously buy their tools from somewhere.
Yeah,
I would just call them and ask them where they buy from. There is a chimney sweep association. That would be another place. I think it's called the American Chimney Sweepers. You could probably contact that association, but I think they're based out of Chicago, so they're probably not open for a while. I've never bought one. I don't know that I've ever seen one in a.
I'm not sure I know what
in a hardware store.
But Beck, if you call
Rebecca,
at Arizona Chimney Sweep,
or Becky,
it's Becky. Yeah,
Becky.
Just tell her Romy and Jennifer sent you, and she'll help you out.
Okay, do you have a phone number or anything? I don't do computers. I don't know how. And
God bless
lucky,
you.
Yeah, I was going to say, lucky you.
That's why I got kids and grandkids. You know, I'm
That's
74.
Right.
I don't need a computer.
That's
602-439-3218.
3218. Okay, folks, you have a good day. Stay out of trouble and don't do nothing I wouldn't do.
Yeah, you as well. Have a great weekend.
Which doesn't sound like a lot. He's willing to sweep his own chimney. He's a man not afraid to get dirty. I would have to, I'm going to call and find out, too. I'm curious now. Not that in 16 years of being with Rosie on the house, that's the first time I've ever got that question. But
not usually considered a DIY project, I think.
When I get that question in 2032 and another 16 years, I want to know.
You'll have the answer.
I'll have the answer. Nancy wrote in this week and said, I'm on an acre and a third property in Desert Hills area, and I am getting eaten alive by something in the ground. Are they gophers? Are they rats? I've got holes everywhere, and now they're popping up around the foundation. How can I get rid of them? P.S. Love the program, and we use Tom Riley of Renovations to remodel our cabin in Prescott.
Ah, good old Tom.
Good old Tom. Our Northern Arizona general contractor for the Prescott and Quad City areas. Appreciate the follow-up on the testimony. We work very hard to screen our partners, and we love to hear feedback.
And very proud to have Tom Riley as one of ours.
Absolutely. If you were in the, I'm guessing Nancy has animals.
Just a Desert Hills area.
Well, you're on an acre and a quarter. You're out there because you want horses. You're out there because you want room. You're out there because you want chickens and goats and, you know, do a little bit of country living. So depending on your animal situation, that can get a little sticky. There's things that you can use like gas bombs. Those won't have any long-term effects. Bonide, their Gopher RX, they've got a one that's safe to apply. That's what we use around our house when we get gopher holes popping up because of the kids and the dogs. You can go to more poisons farther away where you don't have to worry about that. You can put, you know, the traditional snare traps. You can use have a heart cages. There is no what's the word? Magic wand when it comes to go for control. It takes a combination of attack. If you've got a smaller property, or if you really have the motivation to do it, the only long-term method we found is filling up 1 gallon jars of water, pickle jars, and that vibration that they feel, you know, you only put 3/4 of it full of water, that vibration they feel when they're burrowing makes them think they're coming up to a water feature and will burrow away. So that, but that takes a long time. You got to start with a few in the middle and you push it out and you push it out and you add and you add. You know, to circle 1 acre and 1/4 in 1 gallon pickle jars every 12 feet is going to take you a long time.